only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we truly believe, Lord, that all things are possible because you're here. And Father, believing that you're here, we believe, Lord, that you have come with a purpose in mind, and that is, as your prophet said, to make a second masterpiece, one which would be fit for a bride. And so, Lord, we humbly surrender ourselves to your purpose, as your Son Jesus said, "Not my will, Father, but thy will be done." And Father, we just pray that in these vessels, Lord, you would see fit to place your eternal word. And knowing, Father, your seed gene has that was in you before the foundations of the world, you have sought it proper that in this hour you to bring forth that seed gene in these vessels, Lord, and that your word has come down to make manifest in these vessels the life of sons and daughters of God. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to your great purpose and to our role as your sons and daughters. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, today we finally have come to the end of our study in the masterpiece. This is 125 in our series, and we began the study on April 17th of 2004. So we spent the last 2 years plus studying this message from Brother Branham, and I hope that you've enjoyed this study of the masterpiece, because I have. It has been a good study for us in growing more and more into our role as sons and daughters of God. I believe that during this time we've come to the place where we understand why the Father has come down. We've understood, I think, more through this series that we are truly sons and daughters of God, and that God has a role for us, and that as our older son, or our eldest brother, Jesus, the oldest son in a vast family of brethren, as he said that it was written in the book, that he said, "I have come to do thy will, O God." And so I believe that we're learning more and more to let go and let God. As Brother Bram said, the bride will have "thus saith the Lord," or she will keep still. And we're learning more and more that our opinion means nothing. It's what God's opinion is that means all to us. So with that in mind, I'd like to look at paragraph 216 and through the final song. And Brother Branham says here in his closing of the prayer, he says, "Father God, upon these handkerchiefs, anoint them with thy presence, Lord. May thy presence be with them wherever they go. Whatever they're laid upon, on any sick body, may they be healed. And whatever, if there's a broken home somewhere, mend it, Lord, the great sculptor. Grant it, Lord. Mold us and make us sons and daughters of God. We believe the bride is getting its last polishing down. It'll be smitten from the complete organization altogether, and then the great harvest will be there. Until then, Lord, make them healthy and happy to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen." Now, before we move on to our conclusion, let me just point out some things that Brother Branham is saying here. Notice he's predicting that the message will be totally rejected from the organized religion. And so it has. But that is not to say that that same spirit that crucified Jesus Christ will not also try to do the same thing with the message of this hour. You see, it was the religious people that crucified the very God they claimed to serve by killing his representation on earth in the form of his Son. And so today, that same religious spirit that put to death our eldest brother Jesus is the same religious spirit that has entered into the sheepfold of this message and has tried their best to destroy the doctrine that William Branham taught. How do they destroy it? By keeping the people from it. Reprobate men concerning the truth. And so we hear Brother Branham speak of this message being smitten completely from organization. Now, to smite means that one has to intentionally lay blows to it. And so they have. Just go anywhere with me around the world and you will find where the so-called missionaries have gone into countries before us. They preach such a mixed up concoction of misinformation concerning the doctrine of Christ that the people in this message in general are in total confusion. Jesus only is the predominant theme throughout the message of William Branham, and yet it's not throughout his message, but throughout those who claim to be following him. And yet Brother Branham himself declared specifically, I am not a oneness. But as Brother Branham said, God is molding and making sons and daughters, and the work of the Holy Spirit continues to go forth into all nations, teaching as Jesus commanded us to do. Now in Matthew 28 and verse 19, Jesus said, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And notice he said here, teach. And the Greek word that he used here is matheteo, which means to disciple. So he says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and disciple all nations. And that word actually means not only to disciple, but it means enroll as scholarable disciples. Scholarable disciples. Instruct and teach. In other words, don't just go tell some stories about what God did with His vindicated prophet and some miracles and things like that, but actually go to teach them, instruct them so they become scholarable disciples. As we brought out last night that Paul said that he said we have many cloud of witnesses, and we found in the Gospel of Jude, he called these men that were reprobate concerning the truth, he called them clouds without water. And we found that the without water means they don't have the doctrine, they don't have rain. And without the doctrine, these are witnesses of the message. And how many people have rose up and say, well, I was with Brother Branham when he did this, and I was hunting with Brother Branham and I did this and that. And the clouds without water, they won't teach the doctrine. And so the message itself has gone to become just looking at a man, looking at a man, looking at a man, instead of the God that the man represented here on earth. And that is what Brother Branham meant when he said the following about how the word should go forth. Because Jesus said, Go ye therefore and disciple and enroll in as scholarship disciples to instruct and teach all nations. And Brother Branham says, from the church age book, in every age we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area. And then from that messenger there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. And of course, to be faithfully taught means that you have one who is faithfully teaches and you have others who are faithful to just shut up and listen. But of course, all those who go out don't always remember it, how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. And remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. In 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? They add here or they take there, and soon the message is not pure any longer, and the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice, for the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter did likewise. He warned them that even he, Paul, could not change one word of what he had given by revelation. Oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by the way of His messengers and then say what has been given them to say to the churches. And the problem we have in this message is all of these witnesses aren't saying what He said. Now, they're going around saying, say what He said, say what He said, only say what He said, but they won't say what He said. They won't teach what He taught. They just say, say what He said. Say what the prophet said. Say what the prophet said. But they won't teach what he said. They won't say what he said. And when Brother Branham said, I'm not a oneness, they won't say that. When Brother Branham said, Jesus and God are not one like your fingers one, they won't say that. When Brother Branham said, He's here, they won't say that either. And so how should this be accomplished? Because Brother Branham said, the problem is that they won't say what he said. Well, from taking sides with Jesus, Brother Branham said, and then in there, get training in your own groups, other ministers, men that you see that has a calling in their life for the ministry. Train them young men. Bring them in here to the elder. All of you sit down in a ministerial meeting and there teach the deeper things of God. Don't go on the bad end. Keep someone who you can have confidence in to be kind of a leader for you. And then sometime, if you don't see it just exactly the way he does, that's all right. You're in the faith anyhow. Just move along. Maybe when we come together, then all of us together will pray and the discernment of God will come down and He'll give it just exactly what it is, you see. And let us know just how to do it. And in there, churches can go here and train up a group of men. And if I'm in evangelistic work somewhere, there's places I can place them worldwide. What if I was to go to India or go back to India? And there I'd say to these people, maybe they'd have thousands of them. Stay there for a week or two, and maybe they'd see the ministry and they'd love it. And they'd believe in it, that it's the truth, and they'd come out of heathenism. Then I've got, and maybe in 2 or 3 weeks, when I was over there, 2 nights and maybe 100,000 converted to Christ, nowhere to go. And the next day take a plane and start back to Rome and then to the United States and leave them just like sheep, put out amongst wolves. What if I had a group of men, young men trained in the message, see, to say, now wait a minute, before I leave here, we're going to set in order these churches. I'll have a man who I've already telegrammed him and they got the money. And they're on the road right here now to take over this, a good man. And there's 2 or 3 young men with him who will be his helpers and assistants. And a church of his faith can be set there, which will be an outpost in India or an outpost in Germany or an outpost in Switzerland. While right now we should have had them all over the nations that, where I've been and the message. And then from there comes another and from another, another, and see what I mean. So Brother Branham said, that's the way it should be done. The message should be taken out, it should be taught, then others who have been faithfully taught will begin to train up others as well. So you see, this is what Brother Branham meant, the way that he meant it to be done. But remember, when this is done, if it is not the word that is preached, then you have a system ready for organization to begin. And that is a danger that we must always be on the alert for. Because many times in nations, when they have a good ruler who is humble and certain laws are passed, those laws are good for the people if the government has the people in mind. But place another ruler in there that does not have the interests of the people at heart, and those same rules become totalitarian in manifestation. It's a very dangerous thing. So it is the heart of a pure and humble servant of God that God uses to bring forth His Word to polish down the masterpiece. Outside the hands of a truly ordained man of God, and those same principles can become judgment to the people. That is why Martin Luther, in reviewing what the Apostle Paul said concerning the ministry, was very specific that if God did not send the person, then the people who would hear would be hearing wrong. And then those who would be calling out to a wrong God. From Romans 10 and verse 14, Paul said, how then shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Even though they say they hear, they boast in vain, unless they hear true preachers. For to hear false preachers means as much as not to hear. They hear and they do not hear. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nor do they preach the Word of God. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now Martin Luther said this is directed against all conceited teachers and arrogant instructors. So then the entire source and origin of salvation rests on this, that God sends out someone, a true minister of the word. Number one, he says, if he does not send out any, that they who preach, preach falsely, and their preaching is no preaching at all. In fact, it would be better for them not to preach. Then also they who hear would hear error, and it would be better for them not to even hear. Then also they who believe would believe false doctrine, and it would be better for them not to believe. Then also they who call upon Him would call falsely upon a false Lord, and it would be better for them not to call. For such preachers do not preach, and such hearers do not hear. Such believers do not believe, such callers do not call. They will be damned because they would be saved by falsehood. So we have, as I mentioned the other night, the email from the brother from overseas, and he was very confused. He says, I must write this as an ex-believer in the message of William Branham, because he said amongst the message believer in England, he said, because He said, what I'm told that Brother Branham is preaching, he said, I cannot go with it because I can't see where, he said, I cannot understand the Bible from a oneness background. And he said, that's what everybody's preaching over here. Well, the problem is that these men are sent, they weren't sent. The men who rose up there to preach, that are preaching falsely, they weren't sent by God, they were sent by the devil. And we've got to understand that in this message, if we have men preaching a oneness doctrine, they're not sent by God. They're sent by the devil. And there's a lot of businessmen in this message who are preaching. They're just a bunch of they're just maybe gifted men that can speak, but they're not ordained by God to do it, unless they're ordained to the condemnation. He goes on to say, then we would see what is spoken of in Proverbs 1:28, which says, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the true, revealed, and vindicated word of God. Then can you see the importance this morning of receiving a vindicated ministry? Because if it is not vindicated, then how do you know what you're hearing is not error? And if it is error, then you would be believing error. And if you're believing error, then you would be calling out to a wrong God. And if you call out to a wrong God, then how could you be saved? Therefore, God has come down to vouchsafe His own presence among us. We know that we are the elect of God because He said so. It is not just something that we read in a book, but God Himself came down and has spoken through the lips of a prophet whom He has vindicated, and that is what we're standing on this morning. From Romans 10 and verse 18, He says, But I say, have they not all heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke to jealousy by them that there are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and a gainsaying people. So what we see here then is this. Either you are elect or you are not. Paul speaks of Isaiah here, who tells us of a people who actually heard with their own ears, but not with their soul. And Isaiah asks the question, Lord, who hath believed our report? And the other translations actually say, Lord, who hath believed our message? Look at the argument Paul uses in verse 18 and 19. He says, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? And then Paul answers his own question by telling us that Moses chastened them by telling them that there would be a people who would hear and not believe. And then Paul points to the boldness of Isaiah, and he says he outright told them that they were a disobedient and a gainsaying people. They were in it for the money. Now, what did Paul mean by this? Well, the word disobedient here is a Greek word, apatheo, which means unbelieving. But it means more than just not able to believe. It means not to allow oneself to be persuaded, not willing to comply with, to refuse, to withhold, to belief. To withhold belief, to refuse to believe, to refuse obedience. Therefore, we see that it is willful ignorance that's involved here. And the other word that Paul used to describe these people is a Greek word, antiligo, translated in the King James Version as the word gainsaying, which doesn't mean much in these days, but the true meaning behind the word antiligo is to speak against or to gainsay, to contradict, to oppose oneself to decline to obey, to declare oneself against Him, to refuse to have anything to do with Him. Therefore, we see a common thread in both of these attributes of people who willfully will not surrender themselves to the Lordship of the Word, and therefore they, in order to justify themselves, find themselves speaking out against it. Now let's go back to what Paul quotes Isaiah from when he says, Lord, who hath believed our report? The Rotherham translation says, for all tables are full of filthy vomit. There is no place. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he cause to understand the message? And that's the key today. Whom shall he cause to understand the message? Because you got 2 million people claiming to follow the message, but they're not following the message. They're following the fact that God sent a prophet. They're using the name William Branham. The messages are going in one ear and out the other, and they're not discerning the difference between what they believe and what others believe. The Lanza translation says, "For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. To whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand the report? Those who are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts, for filth is upon filth, filth upon filth, vomit upon vomit, vomit upon vomit, a little here and a little there, for with difficult speech and with an alien tongue will he speak to this people. For I have said to them, this is the place of my rest, wherewithal I may cause the weary to rest, and this is the place of tranquility, but they would not listen. So the word of the Lord was to them filth upon filth, filth upon filth, vomit upon vomit, vomit upon vomit, a little here, a little there, that they might return and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. From is this the time, sirs, Brother Bram said, for all tables are full of vomit? There is no place. Who would he teach knowledge? And whom would he cause to understand the message? I believe it was Dr. Lanza who wrote the Lanza Bible translation. From Hebrews chapter 4, I don't have that chapter here. Page 148, Brother Bram said, the prophet of Isaiah, all tables are full of vomit, so there's nothing clean, just dog eat dog. Come to church, women chop their hair, bob their hair off, wear shorts, walk up and take communion and act like you're somebody and cheat and steal and lie through the week. What's the matter with you all? All tables have become full of vomit. And from the Patmos vision, Brother Branham said, for all tables are full of vomit, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand the doctrine? So I ask the question also, who can you teach the doctrine to today? Who can understand it? Only the elect will know and understand, because it's not for anyone else. Brother Bram said in his sermon, Shalom, he said, the elected sees, the elected knows. It's always through every age that they know it. And from Contending from the Faith, Brother Bram said, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't understand it. It's a mystic, mythical thing until you're born again. There the very life of God comes into you, everlasting, eternal life, Zoe, God's own life comes into you, and then you're a part of God. You're a son of God or a daughter of God, and then you see as God sees, you believe as God believes. Now in his closing moments of his sermon from Shalom, Brother Branham said, and they're good people, they're fine people, but yet it seems like they can't understand, look like they can't get it. Why? I go back the next year, and instead of being any better, it gets worse. It continues. Here's a sister that once had lovely long hair. She's cut it off. Here's a man that once looked like he took his stand and went out for the things for the thing that was right. He's right back in like a dog to his vomit and a hog to its swallow. Goes right back on it. It seems like there's something that has struck our people. It's struck the world that they don't seem to have the understanding, or there's something wrong. Just like you notice men today, you don't find that genuineness in men. You don't find it in women. Now, in getting back to our text at this point, Brother Branham begins singing the song. He said, I love him. And then he says, do you really love him? And I was listening to a tape the other day, and Brother Branham said, you know, it's something people don't just seem to be getting it. I don't remember the exact words that he used, but he was talking about, he said, the Word has got to become alive to you. Because if you're just sitting here and listening to a sermon and it's kind of dribbling in one ear and dribbling out the other, it's not alive. But if the Word has become a reality and you see the things that I'm talking about, then the Word has become alive to you. And you become alive to it. And so he sings a song and says, do you really love him? Because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Then the last words he says to the people, paragraph 218, he says, now, do you understand why I scold you? It ain't because I love you or because I don't love you. I do love you, and I want a masterpiece for the master. I might have to tear a few out and like this, but I'll have a masterpiece some of these days if I keep it right on this word. That's right. Now, Jesus said, this will all men know that you're my disciples when you have love one for another. We should be so in love with one another. Now, before we continue, I would like to make comment on what he just said here. Notice he said, I will have a masterpiece for the master one of these days if I keep it right on the word. So get out your Bibles every day and find out what God has to say to you. So we see that it is the Word that is preparing God's masterpiece, just that it was God's Word that prepared the first masterpiece, the Son of God. Then Brother Ram continues to sing as he closes, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred mind is like to that above. Let's take one another's hand." And then he says, "When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain. But we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it everywhere you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Now remember in your journey, take the name of Jesus with you as a shield from every care. When temptations round you, what do you do then? Gather. Just breathe that holy name in prayer. Oh precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven." And then he sings, "Till we meet, let us bow our heads. Oh, I love to sing, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, God be with you, till we meet again." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this sermon, the masterpiece, which opened our eyes to many facets, Lord, of our own relationship with you. And Father, we're ever grateful that you have called us before the foundations of the world to be sons and daughters. And in your love, you predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to yourself. And so, Father, with all these things, we just ask that whatever was meant for us to have in this great sermon, the masterpiece, and the result is that you would create another masterpiece, may that masterpiece be found in us. And may we truly have no will but your will, and no desire but what you would have us to desire. For we ask this humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's just sing that song in closing. Till we meet, take the name of Jesus with you.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus with you as a shield from every care. When temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven.